You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com. Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Have you ever walked through an animal shelter? It teems with hope. Dogs and cats hopeful that they'll be taken home and you'll love them. Heartbreak, because last year an estimated 3 million dogs and cats across the United States found themselves alone, afraid, and abandoned in such facilities. Animal shelters have greatly improved in the services they offer these animals, but sadly, the majority of these wonderful, loving pets will never find a forever home. They're destroyed because no one adopts them. There are just too many of them. A few months ago, my local veterinary association took part in a Doctors Without Borders type of pet wellness event sponsored by a spectacular organization founded by my guest, Terry Austin. This woman's passion for helping some of the least served pets in the Los Angeles area will hopefully inspire you to help her foundation. Or, who knows, you may want to use this model to tackle the same issues in your hometown. We'll be right back after the short break.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Terry, thank you so much for bringing your organization to the awareness of my local veterinary association, but most importantly, for what you're doing for the animals of Los Angeles.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Cruz. And I've been with the Amanda Foundation for 30 years, and I am so privileged to be able to do something that I love, which is work with the dogs and cats and the people who love them and the wonderful veterinary community we have in Los Angeles, who has been so supportive all the years I've been working our program.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, because for some people that might go, Terry Austin, that kind of sounds familiar. Tell us a little bit of a background as to who you are and how Terry Austin came to bring together the Amanda Foundation.
Well, I'm originally from Toronto, Canada, and I started as a teenager in the acting profession, and I worked in Toronto on stage and in films and television, and I worked for an American producer in Toronto who invited me down to do a job in Los Angeles. So I came down to Los Angeles to work on a television show called Knots Landing, and I played the nefarious Jill Bennett, who was always trying to kill Valene, so... And it was a great deal.
But you're really
fun,
a nice person.
Well, thank you so much. It was fun. And in Toronto, I had always worked with the Toronto Humane and other rescue groups in Toronto. And when I moved down to Los Angeles, I became acquainted with the Amanda Foundation, which was had just started up and was a dog and cat rescue. And there were, you know, half a dozen dogs and some cats. And it was a small group at the time. And I became acquainted through my veterinarian. And over the years, just found what we could do for the companion pets of Los Angeles was so much more fulfilling than working in the entertainment industry that I segued from one to the other. So I worked for many, many years here. I was fortunate to do all the shows that were popular at the time that I was working, Seinfeld and L.A. Law and things like that. But over the years, as I say, it just became so much more interesting and so much more fulfilling to be able to make lives of dogs and cats better. And the Amanda Foundation has been working towards that on several levels, by our spay neuter program, our rescue program, and our veterinary program.
Starting off, Amanda, it was this a particular pet that somebody said, oh, you know, my dog Amanda, my cat Amanda, or person? Where does the name Amanda come from?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because that is the number one question we get when people come in. They say, who's Amanda? And we tell people that the name Amanda in Latin means worthy of love. So our charity is not named for a person, but rather our philosophy towards our dogs and cat buddies, that they are worthy of our love. And so when people come to Amanda and they say, who is Amanda? I say, we all are. Everyone who's helping the critters under our umbrella is Amanda. So we hope more people want to be Amanda and come and join us.
And I think that's one thing that really comes through, as I mentioned at the start in the introduction, that we can talk a little bit more about the event that you sponsored that my veterinary colleagues and I got associated with. And honestly, they said, okay, we're having this group, Amanda Foundation. Googled you to find out a little bit about it. And it was going to be in a part of Los Angeles that, as a child growing up, my mother said, don't go there. You know, it's not a safe place. And really thought, gee, these people probably don't care for their animals. Oh my goodness. It was just so heartfelt. These people, and I don't care if you live in Beverly Hills or if you live in South Central Los Angeles, everyone seems to just really love their pets and want to do the best. And that's what the Amanda Foundation is allowing, is the best care possible for all animals, which are worthy of love.
Yes, and you're correct about the love of people that, you know, love people have for their animals. And that's what we've learned. When I started doing our outreach, our medical outreach, it was primarily spay neuter. We looked at the problem that Los Angeles has, which is one of the worst problems in terms of overpopulation of animals, partially because, you know, we don't have a winter here. There's not a season that animals aren't breeding. We have a very large spread out geography. It's not like New York or Chicago where you can chase a dog down an alley and catch it, you know, so the animal control has a very hard time regulating. So in order to have less animals ending up in the shelter and on the streets, we really need a control of the population. So we started by having our free spay neuter mobile clinic, and we realized after collecting data and, you know, just doing some boots on the ground, walking around neighborhoods, working with the city of Los Angeles and the county of Los Angeles, asking, what zip codes do the animals that are in the shelters, where are they coming from? What areas do these animals come from? That either people are relinquishing their pets, or Good Samaritans are bringing them in off the street that they found, or that the city is being called out to pick them up off the streets. And we did find they were in the lowest income areas where there aren't many services for animals, where there aren't veterinarians. And for instance, one of the reasons we chose the community you mentioned, which is Watts, is there isn't a veterinarian who has the address Watts, California. So if you grow up in that community, even no matter how well-meaning you are, there's not a local veterinarian. So I always tell people, I say, hey, you know, if you're growing up in a community and you're walking to school and you know where the church is and you know where the McDonald's is and you know where the Food for Less is and you never see a veterinarian, it wouldn't necessarily be on your radar about taking your animal to a vet. And then the cost is prohibitive sometimes for people in low-income areas. So we've been taking the spaymobile to that area for over a decade, and in that time I've met so many people who do love their animals, and a lot of the times the medical issues their pets have are certainly not due to any irresponsibility on the part of the people, their dental issues or their mass removals or their, you know, foxtails or a number of things that could occur anywhere. So being able to take our pop-up wellness clinic, and we called it Wellness and Wags for Watts, and having the participation of such wonderful, enthusiastic veterinarians like yourself, yeah, I found it very, very heartwarming too, because the people do want to take care of their pets, and they willingly showed up at 7 in the morning to have a veterinarian take a look at their pet.
So Amanda Foundation started off as a spay and neuter program, or is it more of a rescue?
No, we started off as a rescue. No, we started off as a rescue, and when I came to Los Angeles, as I say, the organization was fairly new, and it was a group of women rescuing, you know, as many dogs and cats as they could afford on whatever money they were raising. And when I got involved with the organization and I started visiting the shelters of Los Angeles, it was not too long a time. Like within the year, I said to my colleagues in the charity, I said, you know, if all we're doing is rescuing, it's kind of a hobby. We're not really solving a problem. And we'll never be able to adopt our way out of this problem. And I take issue with slogans like adopt them all and stuff, because that's just not a reality. If you do the math, if you took the number of animals that are sitting in shelters today, and if every household in the United States were to adopt 5 dogs and 5 cats, you still wouldn't empty the shelter. So adopting is part of the answer, and we'll always be an adoption organization. But, you know, we realize that we really need to get in there and try to lower the number, the volume of surplus animals that nobody wanted. And I know that when people hear that, they sometimes think, well, who wouldn't want a puppy or a kitten? Well, yeah, a lot of people want a puppy and kitten, but do they want that dog or cat when it's 1 or 2 or 5 or 10 years old? So you have to have people who aren't looking for a novelty for a few months, but rather a companion for the, you know, for the span of its life. And since even, you know, 30 years later, I've been with Amanda. This is my 31st year, and our shelters are still full. There's less animals, but they're still full. You know, clearly, we still need to work towards having less animals to place. So we started as a rescue, realized we had to work on the supply end, and that's how we became a spay-neuter organization. And then once we were involved with the medical spay-neuter, sometimes, you know, many times, people come to our mobile clinic, our spay-mobile, and their pet has some other issue. Well, the spay-mobile isn't a fully equipped hospital. It's primarily set up as a spay and neuter mobile clinic. So it doesn't have an x-ray machine on it and doesn't have a lot of other, you know, doesn't have a full pharmacy. So we branched out into having a full-service animal hospital so that we could attend to the other needs, medical needs that people and their pets need.
So this is what's really amazing is that, yes, you have this large vehicle that goes around Los Angeles, and we'll talk about how many animals you can spay, who's doing these services, but then you also have a brick and mortar facility, and that brick and mortar facility, tell us a little bit about that. I believe that it's a full service hospital. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. We do orthopedics, ultrasound, dentistry, general practitioner. I mean, everything that you'd find in any other small animal practice, we do at our hospital. And it is located in Beverly Hills, and it has a fancy address. The building was built in 1924, and it's stucco and wood. And right now, we have a capital campaign going to rebuild it. It's kind of an interesting history. The city of Beverly Hills is just 101 years old. It was founded in 1914. And in 1924, the city still had horses to pull the paddy wagon or the milk wagon, or, you know, there were still horses in the city. So the stable that took care of the horses owned by the city were across the road from where our hospital is now. And our hospital, our little building, was where the veterinarian who looked after the city horses lived. And our present parking lot was a paddock. So
that is a great history.
Yeah, it's true. And that's how it started. And it was never meant to be used in larger capacities. We use it now. But that's what it was. Well, by the 30s, horses were gone and cars had replaced them. And the vet who lived in that building had become a small animal vet. And so it has been a veterinary practice for 91 years. It's very difficult these days to get zoning in any city for a full kennel and a hospital. And so we're very fortunate that this property is grandfathered in for that so that we can rebuild on it. We were spectacularly lucky this year, truly blessed. Our largest supporter for many, many years is Frank Sinatra's daughter, Tina Sinatra. And this past year, she gifted us with $1 million. It went towards the purchase of the property. So after being tenants for 30 years, we bought the property last year. And now that we own it, we're looking towards rebuilding it.
That is absolutely amazing. And the services that you are offering, I'm thinking of my own practice in south of you in Orange County, California. Mm-hmm. And I know that providing these services is not inexpensive. So
no.
Who are you serving? Is it the people, for instance, from Watts that you take the spay-mobile to, or is it going to be the local people there in Beverly Hills?
Well, it's always been, for our whole history, it's always been both. The spay-mobile, because it goes to many, many low-income areas, you know, we're as far out north of the city as Pacoima and Sylmar and Sun Valley, east of the city into Lakeview Terrace and East LA and Boyle Heights. south of the city down to South LA, Compton, Watts, and Compton is actually its own city, but we do work Compton as well. And all through our history, we've then invited clients to come for surgeries and treatments that weren't available on our spay mobile. We've invited them to come to our hospital in Beverly Hills. Because it is in Beverly Hills, we do service the community there, and our clients who are from Beverly Hills and the surrounding areas are people who could well afford to go to other hospitals but choose to bring their pets to us because they know we have excellent staff, truly excellent staff, and they want to support the charity. So by spending the money that they would otherwise spend at another hospital and spending it at our hospital, and they're paying the going rate, they're not paying our subsidized or certainly not getting pro bono care, that is one income source for our charity to continue running. But the hospital does so much pro bono and low income costs that we don't turn a profit. We use a lot of other subsidies as well to do the programs. For instance, PetSmart Charities this past year, one of the reasons we were able to do the pop-up clinic was they gifted us with a grant of over $100,000 to buy the beautiful portable dental machines you saw that day and the portable wet tables and the portable x-ray machine. That was my goal this past year, was to obtain portable equipment so that we could do these pop-up clinics.
Terry, this is just amazing what you are doing, and the resources that you have been able to garner together is just fabulous. We're talking right now with Terry Austin. She is intimately associated with the Amanda Foundation, a group that's helping animals throughout Southern California, Los Angeles area, some very impoverished areas. I want to learn more about this. Please, everyone who's listening, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Terry, listening to how you've been able, the Amanda Foundation, to pull this together, the spay mobile, the rescue, especially your brick and mortar hospital, this is, it looks to be a model that I don't think is available anywhere else in the United States. Is that correct?
I'm not aware of another nonprofit that runs a full-service animal hospital. I know a few that run, or several that run spay-neuter clinics or vaccine clinics. There is actually a nonprofit in New York that runs a full-service hospital, but they're not also a rescue and also run a spay-mobile. So our thought of what our business model has been for our charity is that we have the spay-mobile that is trying to prevent the production of surplus pets that will not have homes. We are rescuing the animals that are already here and need homes, and then we're trying to provide care so that people can retain their pets and they don't end up relinquishing them to the shelters because they feel that they can't afford the medical care. So we're trying to service an organic, you know, circle there, doing everything we can to help people retain their pets. We work very closely as well with a couple of intervention programs in the city. So sometimes when people bring their pet to the shelter and they have the intention of relinquishing it, the intervention staff will say, well, you know, why are you relinquishing your pet? And sometimes it's not that the person wants to, but they feel they have a problem that's insurmountable, perhaps a training problem, or their backyard is not secure to keep their pet in and it keeps getting out. And there's a lot of organizations that we work with that will do other things besides medical to help people retain their pets. So there's so many ways that ourselves and a number of our colleagues are reaching out to help well-meaning people who do love their animals, you know, be able to retain them. But this last recession really taught me that a nonprofit should try to have some other income source beyond just waiting for donations. And with the pet industry, I mean, we have these big pet stores, you know, that are on many corners, and we have doggy daycare, and we have, you know, you can buy all sorts of sweaters and leashes and fancy things for your dogs, and there's a number of businesses that have sprung up in the pet industry. So I urge other rescues to look at what they might do as a business that would create a revenue stream so that there's always a cash flow, so they don't find themselves in a situation where there's been a recession or there's a bad stock market quarter and the donors dry up, you know? So part of our goal towards doing what we're doing with the hospital, with the staymobile, with the rescue, is to branch out to dog training and educational seminars and other things that we can do to bring people to us, not only to adopt, but also to donate and also to support our hospital and all the other ventures that we're doing.
Terry, thank you very much for bringing that up, because one of the things that I was so impressed with is that, again, the stereotype that I had in my mind of those dogs that were going to be walking through the doors of this pop-up wellness clinic, they were going to be pit bulls, they were going to need muzzles, they were going to be ill-behaved, we were going to have fights going on in line as people were bringing their pets in. I was just imagining a worst-case scenario. And they were very well behaved. Yes, there were some pit bulls, and I have nothing against that breed. They are awesome dogs. It really gets down to the training of these dogs. But you had trainers there and some really, I mean, they looked like the people they were serving. They could talk to these people and they could understand, and they had leashes and harnesses, and they were doing all this for free. How do you do this?
The goodwill of the people who are involved. There's a wonderful man named Larry Hill who had worked for Department of Animal Services for many years, and he retired, and he has started an organization called Puppy Imprinters, because, you know, a puppy will imprint on its owner, and that's a way that you get the dog to bond with you. And Larry has offered many free sessions to people, because we know that will keep that pet in the home if it's better behaved. A dog that's lunging at neighbors or things like that is, you know, is a reason that somebody might relinquish their dog, and if they can train that pet, they want to keep it. Another man named Mike Cornelius, who has a nickname Dog Man and lives in South LA, again, for over a decade has been giving free lessons. There's so many wonderful people in the animal community, and it, to me, I was so touched when I looked around the room and I saw everything, you know, from our dog trainers to boarded specialists, veterinarians who had given their Sundays. I think a lot of times people have a misconception. They think that veterinarians have this huge profit margin and, gee, they shouldn't be charging so much money. And they don't realize that animal medicine is as expensive as people medicine. Pfizer, Merial, Bayer, all the same companies that manufacture drugs for people are the same people who do them for animals. And they are not cheaper. So a lot of people don't realize there's not a big profit margin for veterinarians. And we're very conscious of the fact that we're working in neighborhoods that are underserved, where there isn't the opportunity. But aren't we blessed that all these veterinarians came from other areas and are so willing to come and help in the areas that need them. So, I mean, I thank you again, and Peter Weinstein, the president of the SCVMA, and all those wonderful veterinarians who came. And they were so enthusiastic and stayed, you know, nobody left early. Everybody stayed until the last pet had been serviced. And it was really wonderful. And we hope to do it again. So I hope I can get you to come again, Dr. Chris.
Oh, very definitely. And again, with this pop-up wellness, I'd kind of like to explain to people what it involved. This was the first time when I got involved with this event that it had been run, and it was at a building. I think it was for Park and Recreations that used this.
It's the Watts Community Center, and we just pushed all their furniture to the side and threw sheets over.
So we had this large building, good lighting, lots of individual little cubby holes were made up with exam tables, which were just these folding tables. We had students. Why don't you explain it? This was your event.
Well, thank you. Again, Peter Weinstein from the SCVMA had reached out to the membership and asked people, and then I had veterinarians who have been friends of mine for years to participate. And then, so we had a number of veterinarians, and then we had over 20 veterinarians, actually. And then we had RVTs, which are registered vet technicians, and these are people that are equivalent to a human registered nurse. They've gone to school and they have an accreditation. And then we had vet techs, who are people who are very often have as much experience as an RVT but have not been certified. And then we had first and second veterinary students from Western University, compliments of Dr. Zahara Hedge. And then we had also also students who were becoming technicians from Cal Poly, compliments of Dr. Joanne Fawn. And so we had a lot of, you know, support help there. And the idea was is that we had the professionals, the doctors and the technicians and the RVTs, and it was also a learning experience for the vet tech students and the veterinarian students. So we had all this, you know, a large, more people than you would have per doctor at a regular hospital. So lots of support staff. And then we brought all
the I had this at my facility because, yes, it's like, oh, you needed help. There was all these hands that were available. And you're right. It was a marvelous time of education because if there was a little downtime between animals, you know, the veterinarians were chatting with the students. And if, you know, as we're looking at animals, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it. And at the same time, educating the pet owners.
Right. And one of the things about a clinic like this, when people are coming in, and the vast majority of those people have never met a veterinarian before. So it was a wonderful also learning experience for people to break that ice between, you know, ever talking to a veterinarian and feeling comfortable doing that. And also some of the things that came in, the laceration repairs that were done, or the bladder stone surgery we did that day, or the number of blood exams that were done. Again, to see a volume of things for the students all done on the same day, which, you know, was great. And it was wonderful for the animals because we were able to do, we had IDEX Laboratories has blessed us by sending us two of their top technicians to run a full service blood lab. The blood lab that we had there was of the same distinction as one that when a veterinary hospital sends off their blood work to the laboratory. This is the laboratory it goes to. So we were able to do full blood panels. We had a fabulous digital x-ray machine with email capacity, also a gift from IDEX Laboratories. And we brought our full pharmacy from our hospital, so we had every drug that we carry that we could offer. And we had a microscope there for cytologies. We had an ultrasound machine with an ultrasound internist to run it. And we had two mobile clinics there that day. One was doing spay and neuter, and one was doing other surgeries, mass removal, bionucleations, and that sort. So we had a full-service hospital. And the idea
and
was
it was
that
fabulous.
We were able to give
health. The quality that you had of all your equipment was mind-boggling. And knowing that, gee, doc, you know, I'd love to have that done. I just can't afford it. This was, It needs to be done. We're going to put you in the queue. Everyone was very understanding. All right, it's going to might take a couple of hours, but You're getting it all done today, from blood work to the radiographs to the ultrasound to dentistry. It was anesthetic dentistries, wonderfully done, registered technicians. It was amazing.
Well, thank you. And what was so wonderful to have the quality of doctors that we did have there to be able to do those, you know, excellent diagnostics so that we could service the animals. And then we did follow up, you know, some pets needed another blood test 2 weeks later, or they need more antibiotic. And because we had created, you know, full medical records for each client, we were able to follow up on the things that needed to be followed up on. So we're going to do it again. We're on February the 13th. We're at East Valley Shelter doing a smaller event there. But then in March, we're hoping to be back in Watts. And I'm reaching out to the councilmen to let us use that community center again because it's a nice facility.
People, the listeners right now going, gee, this sounds fabulous. I would love to do it in my own neighborhood to serve these animals. To get a spay mobile sounds like that's extremely expensive. To get these veterinarians to volunteer their time, that's not so hard. But all the other equipment, how would you recommend somebody approach the needs in their neighborhood?
Well, there's some wonderful grants. PetSmart Charities is the largest grantor in the country, and you can go online and see what the qualifications are for those grants. The ASPCA also has grants. There are also a number of, on the ASPCA website, as a matter of fact, they have a listing of other organizations that grant. So there's a large push in the country now towards spay and neuter and wellness. So there's far more opportunity to get a grant to do this kind of work than there was in the past. 10, 15 years ago, everybody was concentrating on adoption. Now people have realized that we have to concentrate on this as well. So there are those sort of grants. And as far as a spaymobile goes, you know, going in sometimes with a couple of other organizations to get a mobile clinic, there are sometimes veterinarians who have tried doing a mobile practice and decided that that wasn't for them. So on eBay, there are often mobile units that are up for, you know, for sale at a reduced price, and they would have been new. And I do find that because the statistics are so compelling on what a big difference you can make in a relatively short period of time, this is the sort of campaign that when people do have a support base to, you know, have that brunch and get everybody in the same room and tell them what you're going to do with this money, that, you know, that's the fundraising that has to happen. It's constant. I mean, even though we're in Beverly Hills, there is no money tree in the front yard and we are constantly fundraising. We don't have the money for our building yet. You know, it isn't easy to get funds. It takes a non-ending passion and desire to keep the ball rolling. But we feel if we can get our hospital built, we're going to look forward to inviting people from all over the country and all over the world to come learn a high volume spay neuter, come watch our organization and see what we've done and copy whatever, you know, they think might work in their community.
So best practices, it's really something that you now are getting down to a science. For people that are listening and you keep talking about the spay mobile, please describe it. How many surgeries? And some people might be thinking, this must be kind of subclass procedure that's being done since it's being done for these people who can't afford it and high volume. How do you do it? What are you doing?
Well, the mobile clinic we have was built by LeBoit out of Cleveland, Ohio, and they do a number of specialty vehicles for the government and hospitals, human hospitals. And so our mobile clinic is a very state-of-the-art, beautiful clinic that could easily service humans. It's so it's not just, you know, an animal mobile. And I'm really proud to say that the level of service we offer, from the drugs that we use, from suture material, from the quality of veterinarians that we employ, it's top notch. And I tell people that their pet is going to receive as good service, if not better, than any other hospital they would go to in the city because of the quality that we put into the mobile clinic. Because people do ask me, they say, well, if it's for free, do you have people who are learning? And I say, oh no, the people that we have are high volume specialists. We do approximately 7,000 free spay neuters a year, which include vaccines. And you figure if even half that number, if 3,500 dogs or cats produce just one litter in a year, that's over 20,000 puppies and kittens that are not overproduced each year because of our spaymobile. And that's a conservative number. I'm saying if half had one litter, which the case is truly that more than half would produce, and they might have two litters, and then their children would have litters. So, you know, I'm talking about a very conservative number, and it's 20,000 a year.
That's
so
shocking numbers.
Is the answer. And if people want to see the spaymobile, our website is Amanda Foundation, not the, just Amanda Foundation, no space in the middle, .org, and they can go on and see the spaymobile. If they want to donate to the spaymobile program or to our building fund, they can do that online as well. But there are pictures of the spaymobile and an explanation of what we've done. And I tell people whenever they ask me, and I have spoken to people all over the world, and I'm very proud to say that there are other spaymobile programs that I've consulted on that are up and running. I am more than happy to speak to anybody and offer them whatever expertise or whatever I've learned. I'm happy to share it.
Networking is so important, and thank you so much, Terry. This Amanda Foundation is really making a difference in the Los Angeles area, and your generosity, your willingness to network with other folks who have the same kind of passion but not the experience is really going to make a difference for those pets in the United States that need all of this love. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cruz. Thank you so much.
Well, I've had the joy of chatting right now with Terry Austin of the Amanda Foundation. You can learn more by going to Amanda Foundation and see what they're doing. If you need assistance, you've heard, please feel free to give them a call. They can help you help other animals. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening and take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.